really pleased to have a kōrero today with Te Pōhua Kātene, who I have spoken to before and perhaps you've heard from before, but now we are speaking to him as the Labour Party candidate for Te Tai Hawauru. Te Pōhua is a business mind, he's a Fulbright scholar, and says he wants to bring a sense of hope and transformative thinking to the political table as the race for the Māori seats intensifies. E te rangatira, Te Pōhua. Thanks so much for joining us on Wāte, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Good to be back.
Kia ora anō. Ngā mihi. Just for those who are perhaps meeting you for the first time, most of our listeners would be aware of some of the mahi you've been doing, but because we're going into another sort of battle towards November, kōrero mai o Pepeha e te rangatira manamutu hake mai. Nohea koe e te rangatira.
Well, tēnei te tai o mihi o Ngāti Toa Rangatira, o Ngāti Whātua, o Ngāti Tama, ko pitira e te maunga, ko parirua te moana, kapiti te mautere, ko Toa Rangatira te whare, ko Toa Rangatira te tupuna, ko Ngāti Toa te iwi, ko te rauparaha te tangata. I'm Te Pūoho Kātene. I was born and raised in Porirua, and since early on in my career, I've always tried to position myself in places where I can effect transformative change for Māori, and through Māori, to make New Zealand a better and more reflective place of our Te Tiriti foundations.
Tēnā koe, you could have chosen an easier route, just gone out to bat for you, gone out and bat for yourself, go and join a big company and make all the big bucks. So what is it, mate? What is it that ties you into mahi Māori, Te Pōhua?
Well, I'm very aware of the privilege that I have being raised and the rich whakapapa that is given to us through our tupuna. And I often refer back to my tupuna for wisdom. And we're all kind of born with that innate sense that at some point we have to find ways to help. I've known that probably since the age of 5 or 6, that at some point I try to find ways to help my iwi. And as you get exposed to more and more opportunities and privileges, as I have, that sense of responsibility only becomes greater, that sense of privilege that you need to find ways to reciprocate for. And so, as you were saying, there are easier ways to go do things in the private sector and in the not-for-profit sector, both of which I have done. But unfortunately, we've seen what bad actors in our parliament can do against Māori. And we see that just with a constant assault on our values, on our rights and principles and hard-fought victories that our predecessors have made. And so if we can have that kind of impact from bad actors and we are equipped for it, I think we are obligated to step into that arena to make sure that the bad actors become good actors and that we can use that position of influence for good and make things positive happen for our people and not to just be the end of the political football again and again and again.
You're standing for what's considered a mainstream party. Why so? Some would say, oh, well, look, if you're so pro-Māori, perhaps there are other political vehicles that could achieve the change that you seek. Why Labour, Te Pōhua?
I think that there needs to be Māori voices across the entire spectrum of Parliament, including on both sides of the aisle. I think that's very important because we need to make sure that there are interests pushing every edge of that policy envelope in which is being negotiated and discussed at the top level. I think if you are comfortable and you are equipped to step into the major parties, it is a harder road. We are absolutely sure that it is a compromise, some might say, in terms of our tino ranga tiratanga and our ability to push manamutu hake messaging. But it's also true that the vast majority of influence on the laws that are going to be governing this country, and the policies that are going to lead us forward on the economic planning that happens, they are largely steered by the large parties. And so I think that stepping into Labour, who has a good history of focusing on the value and dignity of people within our country and how it's being governed, I think that aligns with my tikanga in terms of putting people and te tai au at the heart of what we're trying to do, particularly economic activity, and being able to work across Parliament to make sure that the voices across government are heard, because Māori aren't a monolith. We have different views around the country, and I hope to capture some of those views, and as you said, capture some hope, bring hope back into the conversation, because it's been very downtrodden that we have been lately.
Well, that's the way we feel too. Look, you're a smart bloke and articulate. These are all useful in your toolkit as a politician, and in fact a prerequisite, you'd have to think, and your ability to think on your feet and to take in complex kaupapa and create a position that could eventually advantage Māori are important. What would you say are your best traits as an emerging and aspiring politician to represent te hoa?
Well, I think a lot has been made of my essentially LinkedIn highlights in terms of my educational journey, my work background. But I think the thing that will serve me most in the next space is just my proximity to whānau in need. I'm amongst the communities that we're talking about. I've got whānau, I've got cousins in the gangs, I've got cousins who are homeless. This is my whānau that we're talking about. And I think it is always important to make sure that the people who are making the decisions can feel the keenness of those decisions and being connected to those communities. I feel like with a scientific background, I'm very evidence-based and being able to push, make sure that we have the right insights to inform our policy decisions. Being business-focused, I'm very embracing of innovation, disruption, moving fast and getting stuff done. But at the same time, that whole feeling of being from the PA, from community, knowing that every decision that we make has real tangible impacts on our whānau's lives that might not always be seen on the ninth floor of the beehive. I think that's going to keep me in good stead, and that's going to make me answerable back to my people.
Tēnā koe. We respect people from other parties, particularly in the Māori electorates, or tend to. You're based in Porirua. It's a damn huge electorate, isn't it, Te Pōho? What about cut through in other areas reaching around the Maunga into Taranaki? And what would you say of the type of campaign you will mount in order effectively to unseat Debbie? How might you describe your intentions?
Yeah, it's an important one. These Māori electorates are huge. Like mine, for instance, goes all the way up to Kawhia Harbour and includes Tokoroa, Otorohanga, Tiro. It's a very big space, and there's many different communities with different histories and backgrounds. I think for me, I'm very comfortable sitting in my Porirua Kapiti area, but that's not what I'm aiming to do. And so the most important trait I think I can bring into this is to listen, to go out and make sure that I'm in those communities and listening to the truths of their lives and what they're experiencing. And in doing so, make sure that when I do vie to carry their voice and their mandate into Parliament, I can say, I've been in that community, I've listened to what they've said, and this is what they've told me. And then I get to go back and tell them what I'm doing about it. Certainly in areas, strong areas, I've got, I'm very lucky to have strong help from Adrian Rurafe and his whānau in the Whanganui area. And I also will be leaning very heavily on my whakapapa. I whakapapa all the way back up to Kawhia. Our tribe came down on a hekinga from Kawhia all the way down to Kapiti. And my Te Pūoho is a Ngāti Tama name from Pōtama. And so I'll be leaning into my whakapapa and into my connections, and also the mahi that I've done through both my day-to-day charitable work with Tapu Wairoa in terms of supporting leadership development and entrepreneurship in Māori communities around the motu, but also at the iwi chairs level, being able to connect to make sure that we can understand the key drivers of transformative change in the regions and how we can make sure that their aspirations are reflected in the candidates going into Parliament.
We have to keep our heads, but there are issues that, to be honest, just infuriate. I was lucky enough over the weekend to MC a session at the Auckland Writers Festival, Te Pūoho, that looked at 50 years of the Waitangi Tribunal. And in preparation of that kōrero yesterday, read the book that we were acknowledging. And to be honest, mate, when you look back at the transgressions, the lack of binding powers, the way that successive governments have ignored recommendations from the treaty, although so many learned thinkers and people with Māori nous were involved in the findings of the tribunal, most of them have been ignored. How important is it that we all are reminded of the slights our people have received? And even just touching before we chatted today about Shane's comments in the House about Ngāti Ruanui, I mean, there are issues that can create the riri, the hara, and at times be infuriating. What feelings you when you feel our people being kicked around and used as a political football, as we've seen in the past 2.5 years?
It has been a trial for our people, and it's an onslaught from every direction. And I think it's undone. Like, the last 2 years have undone so much incremental improvements we've made over time. And I think we need to make sure that, yes, we need to bring hope into the conversation, but we don't forget. We don't forget how people act when they're given power. Because what we can see is an emulation. They're emulating politics that win overseas. And that's really heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking that we feel we need to lead into this anti-intellectualism rhetoric, this anti-immigrant, anti-evidence rhetoric in order to win votes, because winning votes is apparently the most important thing. It's very important because we need those votes to make sure we represent our democracy. We're not doing that if we're trying to pattern match with other right-leaning extremisms, movements that we've seen proliferate around the world. I think the thing that we need to make sure of as we're going through this is that we are in touch with our whakapapa. We know the fight to get there. Like, our treaty settlements in 2011, only one of the original signees of the grievance lived to see it. And understanding that everything that we're able to do as tribes afterwards is because of that hard work and that fight that was put in over many years, often unpaid, that's an obligation to make sure that we don't just rest on our laurels, that we've got to make sure that we use what's available to us, those resources, those rawa, to the maximum extent possible, because people fought and gave their lives for these things. A generation fought for them. And whilst some people might be willing to forget, particularly those people in power right now, it's not something. We have long memories, and we are immortal as iwi, and we won't forget that. And so we'll build that into our message of hope. We will forgive, we won't forget.
Te Pūho Katane with us today. They've got a pretty sophisticated social media strategy as well, Debbie, and Te Pāti Māori. Are you going to match that? Because we are consuming information in a vastly different way to 20, 30 years ago, when it was the traditional pamphlets and door knocking and public meetings time of politics. Now, Te Pūho, we sort of have personality politics and social media politics. It's a different political landscape. How will you and your team accommodate the change?
Yeah, certainly. This is about getting to people who feel like they aren't heard. And if we keep doing what was always done, we'll keep getting what we always got. We know that the political system doesn't cater to our rangatahi stepping up and having their voice heard. And oftentimes, if they don't see themselves reflected in the messaging of politics, then they'll just remove themselves from the system. And that's a failing not on the rangatahi, that's on a failing on the politicians. But we need to make sure that our system is inclusive and empowers in our rhetoric and in our questioning. I always go back and refer to the kōrero that our uncle Iwi Kātea Nicholson used to say, "Ko rongo tō iwi tō haunga." Do your people know your scent? It is not enough for us to sit behind the screen and hope and assume that we are carrying that mandate forward and we're saying things that everyone agrees with. We have to find those feedback loops. And you're right, it's not the same way. The generations now don't communicate and connect the same way that my generation or the previous generation did. And so we need to adjust and humble ourselves, saying, well, we know what used to work, but we need to sit there and listen. We need to listen and sit around the tables with rangatahi and ask them what's important for them. We need to sit around and talk to the people who have decided not to vote for several elections and say, well, what would be meaningful for you and that you would think would be valuable enough to go back to the ballot booth? Because while I would love people to vote for me, the most important thing is that they vote, because that's our mana in this political system. That's our expression of mana. It's our ability to say, this is what I believe in, and this is the group that I think can carry my beliefs into Parliament the best. It doesn't have to be a perfect alignment, and in fact, it never will be. We'll always have things that we disagree on a minor level with the parties and their positions. But I think it's making sure that people realise their own power and taking this into their hands. And that's what my catchline has been. Te Oringa. How do we make sure that our people in Te Whai Hawaiʻi have the agency to choose? And how do we make sure that we earn the right for that choice to come to us? Whether it's me, whether it's any of the other party, I think it is something of making sure we return the power to the people who are voting. We don't want to sit up at the high level and mechanize what seat goes where because this is going to do, this is going to result in a certain outcome. Democracy at the end is hearing the voice of the people and carrying that voice into parliament. And I think that's what the messaging needs to be. And we need to go to where our people are, whether that's online, whether that's in Discord channels, whether that's on TikTok. And we got to make sure that we're in those spaces and promote optionality for them to stand up and say, these people represent my views. So come November the 7th, I think I'll vote for them.
It's going to be a very interesting challenge for Te Tai Hauudu, as it will be for all of the Māori seats. I sense that you're up for this one and look forward to, I guess, monitoring your tilt at the privilege to represent the people of Te Tai Hauudu, but also acknowledging your willingness to put yourself forward in this space. All the best going forward. Pleasure to have recorded all with you today. I'm hopeful that it'll be the first of many conversations before November. Thanks for joining us on the program, Te Pōho, and all the best in the race. Tēnā koe.